Well, let's turn to 2 Thessalonians. God's will for us in our trials. God's will for us in our trials. We're going through a study of the Second Thessalonians. And we want us to pick up certain precious gems and jewels from here. Especially towards the second coming before Christ comes, you will find that there will be many difficulties that Christians will face as they try to live for Christ. And that was what the Thessalonian church had. Let's stand as we read just two verses together. There's three C's over here. Yeah, so if you need 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 11 and 12. Just two verses. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 11 and 12. Okay, let's read the two verses together, okay? 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 11 and 12. Ready? 1, 2, begin. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God will count you worthy of His calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness, and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and ye in Him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, we lift up this hour into your hands. And Father, I pray that you will meet needs specifically through your word. I am just your servant, but God, I pray that you will use me in a way that will honor your name. And Father, I pray that the words spoken will be energized and empowered by the Holy Spirit. That if there's one person, Lord, who needs to come back to you, Lord, I pray you open his heart or her heart. If there's a person who needs, Father, something that they have been struggling with, I pray you give power today to help them overcome. I pray, Father, for your Holy Spirit to take this session and encourage our hearts. And Father, tell us your will in our trials. We'll thank you for what you're going to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. God's will for us in our trials. I want to begin by saying that God has a plan for our lives. God has a plan for our lives. If you look at the life of Joseph, some of you will know, in the book of Genesis, Joseph had 11 brothers who was very jealous of him. And what happened was Joseph, apparently God had a plan for Joseph's life that Joseph didn't know when he was a young man. And he had dreams which his brothers would just get angry when he tell them those dreams. And Joseph would tell them dreams and say, you guys are going to bow down to me. And these 11 brothers was already angry with him and say, what are you talking about? So there was one situation, they had an opportunity to actually kill him, but they decided, hey, let's not kill him, let's make some money out of him, because they saw there was this group of men from Egypt, people who were coming, and they sold their own brother into slavery. And as Joseph was sent to Egypt, he was so hardworking. The Bible said clearly three times in the book of Genesis, but the Lord was with Joseph. God was with Joseph. Even though Joseph didn't know, God was with Joseph. But initially, he worked for Potiphar, we know. But then Mrs. Potiphar messed up the whole thing by wanting to make him sin. Now, of course, later on, Joseph was arrested for trying to... He was accused of trying to take advantage of Mrs. Potiphar. And so, Joseph was sent to prison. Let's turn to Genesis, okay? And I want to show you the plan of God. Genesis chapter 39. I'll just read in verse 19. I preached this once at the youth camp, to challenge the youth to seek God's will. The Lord showed me something which is absolutely for me an eye-opener. Verse number 19. 39:19, the Bible, it came to pass when his master heard the words of his wife, which he spake unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. But verse 21, but the Lord was with Joseph. Oh, what a blessing. If you look at the trials that Joseph went through, three times the Bible speaks specifically, the Lord was with Joseph. But I want you to look at the plan of God Look at verse number 420. Where did Joseph's master put him in? Can anyone tell me? Where did Joseph's master put him in? He put him in prison, right? What kind of prison? The king's prison. You know why? Because the next step of God's plan for Joseph was he was going to see the Pharaoh. So God had to put Joseph in the king's prison because that was the very next step. Sometimes in our lives, we don't know why God put us there. Can I say this? God has a plan. Amen? Look at Genesis chapter 50. After all that is said and done, we know the whole story. Joseph rose to become the prime minister of Egypt, second only to Pharaoh. And he was able to, with God's wisdom, manage the world at that time. Do you realize one thing? God put Joseph there to save his people. God had a bigger plan. But in that was what Joseph realized in Genesis chapter 15 verse 20. Remember, the brothers were the one who sold Joseph into slavery. But notice how Joseph, with God's wisdom, saw all the trials of his life. He said this, "But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it for good." Trials in your life might be hard, but Christian, if you are living in God's will, as Joseph was, that God was with him, all the trials can seek to make it bad for us. But by faith, Joseph knew, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass at this day, to save much people alive. Because if there wasn't a Joseph in those days who knew the dream that God gave to Pharaoh, I can tell you the entire nation of Israel will perish, including Egypt and all the people during that time. But it was God's will to protect the people that God kept Joseph. And you know what? Joseph went through trials after trials after trials after trials until finally, after 15 years of trials, God rose him up and God set the plan in motion. If you look at the life of Moses as well, Moses went through trials. But you know what? The parent from the beginning saw that God had a plan for their son. There was a plan. And also in the Jeremiah was a prophet. Even the Bible says, Jeremiah 1 verse 5, that even in the womb of the mother, God has already called Jeremiah to be a prophet to the nations. But you know what? There's another verse in Mark chapter 2 verse 3, which you have in your verses. The Bible says, "And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four." Now, what has it got to do with the plan of God? They came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which is one of four. There were four friends who were very concerned with a friend who had paralysis. These four friends brought this friend to Jesus because they knew Jesus could heal him. These four friends was in the plan of God to lead someone else to Jesus Christ. These four friends was never named. You know, that is significant to me. Because many of us will never have our name in the Bible nor in the history books. But yet God has a plan for you to touch someone. That after you have finished that plan, you fade into the background and no one else ever heard of you and me again. But yet God remembers us. God has a plan. Though nameless, God still has a plan for us. God has a plan for all of His children. And get this, God actively works to complete His plan in the lives of His children. In 2 Thessalonians, as we go back there, I want us to see what is God's plan for us in the trials, specific details. There are six things that Paul prayed for the Thessalonian church. Six things. And today, within these six reasons, they are the reasons for the trials in the life of a believer. The goal today is for us as Christians to recognize two things. Number one, do I recognize what is God's purpose? What's the purpose of God's trials in my life? Do I recognize why I'm going through what I'm going through? Can I say this? You may be going through something, but don't just take it as going through something. Recognize if you're a child of God, you have a heavenly Father that has planned that. Number one. Number two, am I actively involved in the purposes of God? Or am I actively resisting what God is telling? Or I don't like this situation. I don't like that situation. I want to make my own situation. Am I willing to submit to God? These two things. I want you to notice six reasons, or rather six things of God's will in our trials. Number one, look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 12. I'm taking all the six reasons from these two verses, but I'll use other verses as well. Number one reason for God's will in our trials is that we will be counted worthy for the kingdom of God. We talked about it last week, but in 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 12, that the name of our Lord, wherefore also we pray always for you. Why? Number one, that our God would count you worthy of His calling. That God would make you worthy of His calling. In Ephesians 4 and verse 1, you will find that in the list of verses. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Paul beseeches the Ephesian Christians to walk worthy. The word walk worthy means to live your life appropriately according to your vocation. If you are a computer engineer or whatever, then do your work well as a computer engineer. If you're an architect, then make sure you walk rightly according to the rules of being an architect. Okay? If you're a soccer player, then do your best in training. If you are a draftswoman, then do your work well. If you're an engineer, then work well. And Paul says, if you are a Christian, if you call yourself a Christian, then walk worthy, walk appropriately according to the vocation that God is calling you. The vocation is the calling. If I'm a Christian, I need to walk as Christ walks. In my life, my ambitions, my calling, my words, my direction, my morality. Have anyone said this to you before? You're a Christian, ah? Huh? You sure? You're a Christian, ah? Have you done things before? And then after that, when people look at that, hey, you're a Christian, ah? Oh, I didn't know that. Wouldn't that be a shame? You know, it's easy to be a Christian in good times, but it's only when the trials of life come that we are really tested as a Christian. How can we grow as a person and as a Christian if there are no trials? We need to understand this. How can we grow if there are no trials? Remember Job? Job in the Bible? You know, talk about having a lot of trials. What are some of the things that Job in the Bible went through in trials? Anyone? What are some of the trials that Job went through? Well, he lost everything. Specifically, he lost all his 10 children. What else? He lost his health. What else? He lost all his possessions. What else? Did he lose anything else? He didn't lose his wife. His wife was punished. Do you realize? Later on, Job's wife had 20 children. Double, 20, yeah. Okay, what else did Job lose? He lost his possessions, he lost his children, he lost his health. And the Bible says that he had problems from the head of top of his head to the bottom of his soul. He had problems, true. You know, Job had massive problems in his life. And you know what, worse come to worse, as if that's not enough, he had a wife that criticized him, curse God and die. And then he had three friends that were very nice for the first 7 days. And after that, Job, is your fault because of your sin. That's why you're having all these problems. You know, Job sometimes protests, what have I done? Can I say this, Christians? If you are in a situation whereby you say, what have I done? It is possible that God is saying, you just be patient. You didn't do anything. I have my plan for you. And you know, for those who have gone through and you realize that God, you have a plan. You realize one thing, you don't have to fight God in the plan. You just have to submit. And sometimes it is hard. But you know what Job said in the midst of all his trials? He lost his health. He lost all his children. He lost his possessions. You know why he nearly lost his mind? You know why I say that? You say, he even cursed the day that he was born. Have you been there before? Say, why was I born in the first place? Look at Job 23. You know what he said after all these things? You know what is going to sustain you? What sustained Job will be what sustained you in your trials. He said this in Job chapter 23, verse 10. Let's read together. It's a wonderful verse. Let's read together. Memorize it if you have to. Ready? 1, 2, begin. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he had tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Can I say this? If you read the verses before, Job didn't even know what was happening. He was asking question after question. Why did this have to happen to me? But in the entire analysis, the one thing he remembers is this. God knows what I'm going through. Amen. Can I say this? Sometimes we want to know the reasons for everything. God says no. You just have to learn to trust. And that was exactly what Job did. And Job said, when he had tried me, after all these things have happened, I will come forth as gold. Listen to this. Our point is that God will consider us worthy of our calling. And can I say this? God puts trials in your life to test and see whether you are worthy of your Christian calling. And sometimes people, you know what some Christians do? The moment there's a trial, we back off. Say, oh, no, that's too much for me. God, if this is life as a Christian, I don't want to be a Christian anymore. But you know what God says? No, when I saved you, I want you to grow. And that's why sometimes God has to put trials and training sessions in our life to make us worthy. Look at Isaiah 48 verse 10. Isaiah 48 and verse 10. To me, there's a wonderful verse. For those who are in the trials of affliction, claim this verse. Notice what God says. Behold, I've refined you, thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. In other words, as you are going through your affliction, I've appointed you, I've chosen you from there. So the first reason is that God will consider us worthy in our trials. As a Christian, let me ask you a question. Are you going through trials right now? Is there something in your heart that you find that, hey, God, what's this all about? Can I say this? God put that trial there not to make you doubt Him. On the contrary, God put that trial in your life to make you trust Him, that He knows what's best after all. I can tell you there are many stories about how God knew what is best. But I'll move on. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 11, number 1. God wants to count us worthy. That's His will in our trials. Number 2. The number 2 part. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God will count you worthy of His calling. That's number 1. And fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness. All the good pleasure of His goodness. Now what does that mean? The word fulfill means to make complete. Kind of like a cup that you have, okay? Your cup. God says that one of the purpose of God's will in our trials, that God will make the cup, God's pleasure for us, goodness for us, complete. Can you imagine God's trials for us is so that He will fill us with goodness? See, Brother Johnny, you are joking. Well, God has probably a morbid sense of humor. See, you make me suffer so that you can do good to me. A good illustration is this. If you need to pass your IPPT, okay, those who are Singaporean citizens, thank God I'm exempted. But those who said like Jacob, for example, how was IPPT next week? Tuesday, okay, let's pray for him, okay? He's going for the gold. Okay? But before he goes for the gold, do you train? You try to train, right? Go to the gym. And how many of you like to jog 3 kilometers? That's different. He's from a different world. Just kidding. Some people like to exercise. But you know what? For majority of us, exercise is work. Right? Is it Brother Samson? Do you, when you're in KL, do you jog around? No? Once you finish work, it gets to be work. And I think someone went to the gym this week and hasn't gone for 6 months. And after that, he's like, he said he cannot even lift out his hand. I won't tell you who. You can follow yourself. And when we exercise, it gets to be work, you know? But you know what? In order to pass your IPPT, you need to work. Exercise. And it's painful sometimes for some people to exercise. But you know it's good for you. Sometimes God put us through the training sessions. That it is hard that we think, but you know what is good for us? A good example would be children. You know, when your parents ask you to write and study hard, And you say, no, it's so painful to study. How many of you students think it's painful to study? Put out your hand. No one dare to put out a hand because your parents are here. It's painful study. You know why? You know one of the things that we tell children in our clinic to say, you know why you need to write? You say, what's the purpose of writing? Just write law. No, the purpose of writing is so the next time you can fill out forms for your application for jobs so that you can actually write your own name. So that you can recognize your own name. There are reasons. But you know, if a child says, no, I don't want to do. Can I say this? At the moment you resist God's trials, your growth stops there. When you resist God's trials in your life that's designed for you to grow, your growth stops there. Does that make sense? If there's a course you're supposed to go, but you don't want to go for it, our learning stops there, in that area. But sometimes God puts us trials, and sometimes God actually shoves us into our trials because He knows it's good for us. That's why sometimes as parents, we've got to push our children through the trials to help them realize that. Can I say this? Number one, the word fulfill means to fulfill food. The second one is the good pleasure. Good pleasure has to do with the kindness of God's good deeds. God says to fulfill all the good, the word good has the idea of kindness, of His goodness. Kindness of His goodness? No, and I read that, it's like, what are you talking about? God is always good. Amen? He is always good. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above, James chapter 1. God is always good. He cannot be anything else because God is good. But then, Brother Johnny, why am I suffering like that? Can I say this? God can even bring good things out of your bad stuff. That's how wonderful God is. So, trials that Paul is telling the Thessalonian church is, I'm praying for you that God will fulfill the good pleasure of His goodness towards us. Remember last week I told you about a missionary who went to Africa to preach. And then after that, the boat sunk and they went back all the way to America, remember? You know, as they were preaching right now, I continued the story. As they were preaching there, what happened was medical science wasn't very advanced. So in 1960s, the mother actually had this thing called black water fever, okay? That causes the mother to bleed through the kidneys. And the nearest doctor was 30 days walk away. Because transportation was poor. And you know what? The mother died. The mother died. And the missionary buried his wife, and then he has two young daughters. And after the burial service and all that, the next day, you know, before that they have been preaching there for 3 or 4 years. But there was no converts, no one wanted to be a Christian. But immediately after the mom died and the burial service, the very next day, 5 young men from the village in which they were preaching came and said, "We want to be Christians." And then this mission, what took you so long? This was what they said. "The faith that you preached seemed good for living, but we did not know whether it was good for dying. Now we know it's good for dying. That even in the face of someone dying," the little girl said, "I'm going to see my mommy one day in heaven. It's not the end." And when those villagers heard that, they say, "I want to be Christians." Because we didn't know whether the faith that you were talking about was good for dying. We know it's good for living, but we were not sure. But essentially what they were saying, by your example and your life testimony, we know it's good for dying. And you know what? The entire village trusted Christ. But what did it take? The death of the wife. To the missionary, it could be a tragedy, a trial, but God says, "I'm going to use that." Anyway, when the wife dies, it goes to heaven. Right? But God had to use a tragedy for us, for His plan. And you know what? The thing about missionaries, the heart of a missionary is for someone to trust Christ. In that situation, God used this. Let me ask you a question. Is your faith worth it? If it's worth it, then live it. Many Christians hold the Christian faith, but they don't live it. They just go to work, come back. Maybe they may read the Bible, memorize a few verses, come to church, go home. But they don't live it. If your faith is worth it, then live it. Because when you live it, people then can see it. And when they can see it, it just might that God will work in their hearts so that they will believe it. Amen? Is your faith worth it? God says, I want to fulfill my good pleasure in the trials given to you. We need to live our faith. Then someone who may be seeing you may be challenged to live for Christ because you did. You know, we can be a Christian when there's no trials, but you know what? It's a genuine Christian that will shine through a trial. And that's why God put that in our life. God wants to fulfill His purpose He has for each. The second point is God will fulfill His purpose He has for each trial. That's God's will. Number three, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 11, we've seen that God will count us worthy. Number two, that God will fulfill all good pleasure of His goodness. And number three, that God will complete the ministry with clear evidence of the power of God. Because that's what He says, and the work of faith with power. The work of faith with power. God has a work for us to do. The work of faith means all of God's works must be done in faith. Doing in faith means a ministry of God's work that's done with faith practically means we do not use any of our thinking and strategies to do God's will. Number one. Number two, we do each ministry with praying and full dependence on God. Number three, we are looking to God's power to do His work. That's called a work of faith. Unfortunately, many people do ministry based on what they think, how it should be. I think there was one time, many years ago, the church wanted a building fund. And they were discussing the building fund. And what happened was, after a while, the man said, I think we can take the church money, then invest in this, buy land. We made some buy stocks and all that. They start to go into all these kind of different investments. And suddenly, wait, better ask Pastor. I think we are going off into our own ways of making money for the church. Can I say this? God has a way of doing His will. And we need to follow that. That's called a work of faith. You know, when you share the gospel with someone, do you realize it's a work of faith? Because without faith, some of us, can I say this, those people who go out tracting and soul winning, realize this, you're out there doing a work of faith. We don't just go there with no preparation, and then we just expect God to bless. We can't. Our hearts must be, we must pray. In our hearts at least. One of the things I do is, Lord, open the door. Please open the door. And keep on asking God with the expectation that the very next door will be God's opening. And thank God this particular week I managed to speak to a primary six girl, she just was there listening, and then she was, she said, don't know many things. She said, no, children out there, they said, don't know. Yeah, so, but was able to, after sharing with her the gospel, was able to get her contact, and hopefully she'll come for youth camp, all right, because the PSL is this year. But you know what, we need to realize that God's work is to be done with God's power. You know what, sometimes trials in ministry, sometimes when we do the will of God, even with prayer and fasting and hardship, yet there's no result. But then God sends the trials to drive us more to Him. Every Christian has a work to do. No one is exempted. Because when Jesus Christ saved us, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Every Christian has a work to do. Ephesians chapter 2. If you are called by the name of Christ, if you name Jesus Christ as your Savior, God has a work for you. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, the Bible says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, that not yourself is a gift of God, not of works, as I mentioned. Both, that's salvation, right? We all know the verse. But notice what verse 10 says. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. This is not just referring to the church, it's referring to every individual. When God saved us unto good works. There were certain things that God wants us to do. And as Christians, if you have no good works coming out of your life, then we need to seek God's will. You know, the first good work that you do is baptism. Because you want to obey God. There's a good work that comes through your life and say, in obedience and love to Christ, I'm willing to follow Him in believer's baptism. Then after that, I move on. Okay, I do the things that God wants me to do. Being honest, maybe I've been disobedient to my parents. Say, from now on, Lord, I'm going to be obedient. And I tell my mom and dad, I'm sorry for my disobedience all these years. I'll just be obedient to you from now on. Good works that come out from your life. And then after you do more, reaching people, VBS. Can I say this? There are so many people who are lonely out in this world, they just need a Christian to touch the person's life. There's so many people who have trouble and problems in this world. You know, sometimes, how many of you have walked in an MRT or just look at someone and you just know that that person is going through some problems? Huh? Okay? You know what? Sometimes they may just need a Christian to point the way. To point the way. No, when we actually have difficulties in our life, especially with the ministry that God has given to us, God wants to actually fulfill. God uses trials to fulfill and complete God's ministry with clear evidence of the power of God. In Australia many years ago, there was this man by the name of Reverend Johnson. Reverend Johnson was an Englishman, but Reverend Johnson went on the boat, the first ship to go out to Down Under, Australia. They call it the convict colony. Okay? In England, last time what they do is they banish criminals to, they exile them basically. Okay? They exile them. Reverend Johnson was the chaplain that made a decision with his family to go there to minister to people in the convict colony. He went there and he said, God give me this role to preach to all and to pray for all and to teach the people God's word. He spent many, many years trying to win people to Christ, especially because it's convict colony. Many times, the mayor, if you can just Google this, it's Reverend Johnson, you can Google it, you'll find that his life, the mayor opposed his work. The mayor actually opposed his work. Didn't give him a proper place of worship, so many times he had worship beside the beach. Wherever he can find open areas. And sometimes he'll give a Bible to someone only to find out that the person has sold the Bible to drink. And some of them would take the Bible, tear it out, and use a rough paper. His wife died when he was there. But you know what? Reverend Johnson said in the more than 20 years of ministry there, he has never seen more than 20 people attend his service. He's a failure, right? Not in the eyes of God. You know what God will tell him on that day? Well done, thou good and faithful. There's two characteristics God will for. Thou good. What is good? It means the heart is right with God and with men. The word good and faithful. In other words, God says, Reverend Johnson, I'm sending you there because I am full of faith that you will keep on doing the work, irregardless of what the outcomes will be. There are times in ministry when you serve, there will be no outcomes. But you know what? God wants us still to be faithful. We thank God for Singapore. I think I was Singaporean. So, but you know what? Since 9/11, we had these patrols, right, around Sembawang, you know, the police. And then, you know, up to date, we're still having it. Yeah, they say it's a show of force. Can you imagine doing that for the last 11 years? Every minute, every hour, just... For what? Waste taxpayers' money, right? But you know what? It's a show of force. And to perhaps give us some security that at least our men in green and blue is watching over us, protecting us. So some people say it may be a waste of time. Those soldiers maybe drive the same route, no? You know? But what if really someone comes in one of these days without these guys? You know, it might be mundane. There may be like no outcomes. But you know what God says? There's a higher purpose. Can I say this? Ambassador Baptist Church, maybe just with, I think now 50 of our members, God has a purpose. May God, through us, touch more lives in this place as we show the love of Christ in our hearts. That God will complete the ministry with clear evidence of the power of God. Can I say this as we are trying to move up to the next step of being a discipleship church? Ever since we mooted that in January, the amount of problems that we are having. Some of you may not know it, but as pastor, I feel it very keenly. Again and again and again and again. But you know what God wants to? You know, the principle of ministry is if you want to do ministry, just a ministry, this is the principle. If God calls you to do it, do it. There will be distractions, but focus on the main thing. If there's a thing that affects the church, you know what? The leaders and the Christians must pray towards still doing their ministry, and maybe a group of people go and deal with this, and then keep moving on. All right? This is very important. So that God will complete the ministry with clear evidence of the power of God. We started with eight. But now God has given us more than... We average about 65, 70. I'm not into numbers. To me, it's just an encouragement that God still finds us faithful. Oh, that God will find Ambassador Baptist Church faithful. Every one of us faithful. Let's move on. Point number four. That God will find us worthy. He will fulfill His purpose He has for us. He will complete the ministry with clear evidence of His power. And number four, that God will be glorified in them. Look at verse 12. 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 12, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you. It is God's prayer, Paul's prayer, that whatever happens in the trials, that God will be glorified in your life. It is God's will that He be glorified in us. What does it mean that we glorify God with our lives? The word glory means splendor, bright, shining. Okay, the word glory means shining. In the lives of Christians, therefore, our Lord Jesus Christ is to make splendid, bright, and shining. So in the life of every Christian, Christ is to be a shining light. Not you, but Christ. Does that make sense? God is to be shining. That's what it means to glorify God. Okay? That means in everything we do, we need to make the name of our Lord Jesus bright and splendid in our lives. Yes? Okay? It means that the things we do, the places we go, the way we live, the words we speak, the interactions we have, the families we build, all must point to the Lord Jesus Christ. And people can see for a fact that God is great in our lives. That is what it means to glorify God. There was one musician in the 1700s. His name is Franz Joseph Haydn. How do you spell H-A-Y-D-N? How do you pronounce that? Haydn or something. Franz Joseph Haydn. He was present at a Vienna music hall. He just composed this great music called The Creation. Okay, he was very weak when he was there. He went there, and as the majestic work moved along, the audience was obviously caught up with great emotion. And when the passage was read, and there was light, the music was so, the orchestra burst forth with such power and such grandeur that everyone couldn't contain. No, orchestra is not supposed to make any sound, right? How many of you have been to orchestra concerts before? You're not to say anything, do anything until after the whole thing. All right, even if you come late, they won't let you in until the music piece is finished. Okay, but you know what? The whole audience was so overwhelmed by they just stood up and applauded the orchestra. You know what? And of course the composer. You know what composer? The composer Joseph was there. He struggled to send and ask everyone to silence, and with his hands he said, "No, no, not from me, from him." You know, as people were applauding him, he said, "No, not for me. Him. All praise and glory goes to God." Can I say this? No matter what good works you've done in your life, if you don't give it to God, the glory, it will be useless because you're doing it to please yourself. In Daniel chapter 6 in verse 4, you notice one thing. Will our lives glorify God? In Daniel chapter 6, I'll just read there. It's there. This has to do with Daniel. You know, Daniel was so righteous, so honoring to God, that there were men who were trying to find fault with him. Let me read. Then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion or fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said this man, "We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." Can you imagine? For this man, they have been living day in, day out with Daniel, and they could not find anything wrong with Daniel. That's the type of life Daniel led. Do you realize Daniel has such a testimony that he was a favorite among four kings? Four different kings. Daniel's ministry was 80 years, and he had four kings. Every one of them loved him. It's not because he flatter him. He flattered them. He did what was right. And the kings who know how to administer knows people who can do the job. And Daniel was one of them. You know the wise man that came to visit Jesus in Matthew chapter 2? Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east. Guess where? Persia, where Daniel came from. You know how they knew about the star in the east? Daniel's influence. 400 years earlier. And they were all looking for their star. Daniel's influence. The Bible tells us, Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify God which is in heaven. Your Father which is in heaven. Do we do all we do? Does it glorify God? Does my decision glorify God? That means when I decide something, will God lose out? When I decide something, will God lose out? Or in every decision we make, we always put God first. Will my decision lower the honor of God in any way? There was one man who believed that God has given me a promotion. That was many years ago. All right? But you know, he was never consistent in church after that. He was promoted. It's quite well. You know, he's promoted. But because of his promotion, he has to work Sundays as well. Did the promotion honor God? No. Because the Bible says in Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich, addeth no sorrow to it, with it. When God blesses us, God's honor will be there. In 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Christians, does everything you do bring glory to God? Or is it just for yourself? And that's a very important principle. We need to work for God. We need to study for God. We need to clean the church for God. We need to eat for God. You know, everything we do, it ought to bring God glory. There are some Christians who do right, but not in the name of the Lord. Is it possible? Christians, we must ask the Lord to develop this in our heart, that all we do it for the Lord Jesus. Point number 5, very quickly. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 12. That the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in Him. The number 5 prayer that Paul had was not only that Jesus will be glorified in us, but we in Him. Now what does that mean? How come, I thought only we glorify, but how come Christ be glorified in us? Now what does that mean? It means this. Remember, the word glorify means shining. So Christ must be shining. Whatever we do, we need to shine for Christ, right? But you know what? For Christ to shine in us, what does that mean? It means this. Not only does the Lord Jesus need to be glorified, it means that through trials, God begins to make our character more and more like Him. The first one was, what I do will bring glory to God. But the second one is that God, through the trials, might begin to make you more and more like Jesus Christ. So that wherever you walk, you are a shining light for Christ. Not just your work, because in Matthew 5:16, the Bible says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Right? That's one. The second part that Paul is praying about is that your character might be a shining light for Christ. That Christ may be glorified in your life. Christ will be growing in your life. Okay. In Romans 8 verse 30, moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified, and whom He justified, He also glorified. God says what? He wants to make us more and more like Jesus Christ. That's what it means when Paul prays that through your trials, God will make you become more like Christ. And the last point, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 12, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and in Him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Point number 6. What is God's will for us in our trials? That we may learn to depend totally on God. That we may learn to depend totally on God. 1 Corinthians 15:10. This is what Paul says. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And this grace was bestowed upon me was not in vain. Stop there. Does God give us grace in our life? Do you realize if God doesn't give us grace, we're finished? We live by God's grace. The fact that we are alive today is because of God's grace. Because God can cut your life short. He can, because He holds life in His hand and death in His hand. Revelation chapter 1. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And the grace that God has given to me was not in vain. Why? Because I labored more abundantly than they. You know, Paul was a very hardworking apostle. I had one time when I was in a church where an American missionary was preaching, and said, "You know, if Apostle Paul was here, and after he had done his work, you know, at 7 p.m., you want to do, hey, come, let's go to Orchard Road, let's preach the gospel there." And after he finished Orchard Road, after about maybe 9 plus, hey, let's go to the other place. You know, people, for us, once we finish one block already, we want to kind of pack up and go home, right? Not Paul. Paul said, "Let's go to the next block, let's go to the next block." He's not going to waste time. But you know what Paul says? Paul said, "The reason why I can do that, look at 1 Corinthians 15:10. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I." Even as Paul worked so hard for Christ, he said, "No, it's not me, but the grace of God which was with me." You know what Paul is saying? I can only continue as much as God's grace gives to me. And as pastor, I can only continue as much as God's grace gives to me. And as Christians, you can only continue as much as God's grace gives to you. And the moment you stop depending on God's grace, you're going to get stopped. And some of us are stopping because when God gives us grace with invitations and encouragement, you are resisting the grace. Oh, don't resist God's grace. The moment you resist God's grace, you stop growing. But you know what? God's grace is freely always given to us on a daily basis. Question is whether we'll depend on that. To do His will, not just to live your life. Many of us depend on God's grace to live life. That's good. But what about doing His work? Touching someone else's life. That we may learn to depend on God. In Galatians 2:20, some of you may know the verse already. It's my life verse. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. And when I live, Christians, you know, I have to constantly remind myself, it's not me that's living anymore, it's Christ. My job is just to submit to what God has for me and to follow Him. And God will give the grace. Some of you may be going to trials as we close. Some of you may be going to trials. Some of you may be saying, "Brother Johnny, I really, sometimes I cannot understand why God put me through all this." Can I say this? God has a will for you. And I like to say this also, that sometimes God's will we will never know in this life until we see Him in the next. You can certainly ask God to explain to you. You know, and sometimes God will. I can tell you that sometimes the things that as pastor I have seen and probably you have too, some people have to go through tremendous things in their life. You say, how in the world can they still trust Christ? But you know what? A person can trust Christ because he knows that Christ is still in charge. That God doesn't play games with the trials in our life. Every pain, every sorrow He puts in our life, He has a purpose. One of these six purposes in our lives. That He may bring us closer to Him. That He may change us. That He may get rid of sin in our life. That He may fulfill a particular aspect of ministry. Can I say this? Are you willing to be a pawn in God's plan for this life? You know what's a pawn? Not prawn. Pawn. P-A-W-N. Are you willing to be a pawn? That when God says, "Okay, I need this person to stay here." That finished already. He put it aside. Are you willing to be that pawn in God's plan? Which means that if, for me, maybe as pastor, I'm here for 10 years and God says, "Okay, I'll get rid of you, fine, I'll bring you home." Are we willing? Unless we come to the place and say, "God, I'm not important, You are. Whatever position You use me in, that's fine. If You want to remove me, that's fine. You want to use me, that's fine. But God, whatever You say, I'll do." That is submission to God. But the more you submit, the more God will use you. The more God will bless you. I found this in my life and I hope you have too in your life. As you allow God, I don't care what you have gone through. God can use anyone. Some people, no one, I was sharing this on Friday to someone, no one is too small that God cannot use. Amen? No one is so small that God cannot use. But there are some people who think themselves so big, God cannot use. Oh, maybe we just always constantly be humble that God can use us. But some of you may be going through the trials of your life and you're asking yourself, why in the world did God do this? Maybe this is one of the six reasons why. But I can tell you this, God's trials is always meant to bring us back to Him. If you are not a Christian, the troubles and trials God put in your life is to push you to God. If you're a Christian, God's trials is to make us more like Christ. Is the trial fulfilling its intended purpose? Will we be counted worthy for the kingdom of God? Will we fulfill His purpose He has for us? Will we be able to complete the ministry that God has given to us? Will God be glorified in our life? And will God glorify us in Him, becoming more like Christ? Will we learn more and more to depend more on Christ? As we close, maybe there's something in your heart. You say, Brother Johnny, there's something happening in my life. No one knows. I know it's a trial, but you're saying, God, if you know what's best for me, I'm willing to let you do it. And if I, Lord, I let you do it, whatever the cost is it to me, God, I know you'll provide for me. You know what God wants us to do? I believe, you know, as I read the Bible, as I close, I believe very much, because we don't see God, sometimes it's hard for us to trust Him. But you know what? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And that's why even though God gave us so many instances of His goodness, He still insists on us, I still want you to learn to trust me. Through the good times and through the bad. As a heavenly father, as a father takes care of the child in the hospital, wherever, you can be sure that whatever trials you go through, God is right there with you. He has promised, I will never forsake you. Christians, will you be willing to trust Him? Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for your word that tells us, Lord, all that we ever need is found in you. Lord, that we will be able to understand this truth in our lives. That, Father, all we have to do is to come to you. And God, in humility and prayer, and Father, you will be able to touch us and encourage us through your word. Your eyes closed, heads bowed, no one looking around. We'll be singing a song, All I Ever Need. But you know what? Are you going through some trial that no one knows? But you know what? The trial is not the key thing. The trial is just a means to an end. Perhaps God is saying, my child, would you allow me to do my work in your life? Life is not about earning money, running around the rat race. Life is about honoring God with everything you have. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Therefore, whatsoever you eat or drink, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Christians, is your life a glory to God? Or will you admit, Lord, I need to, as I prepare for your coming, Lord, I need to move up the rungs. I need to climb the ladder of being closer to you. And Lord, I will start today to put more faith in you. You know what? You don't need much faith. You just need to have faith in Christ. See, Brother Johnny, there's some trials in my life. I need you to pray for me that God will help me through the trial to draw closer to Him. Is there anyone like that? Brother Johnny, pray for me that I, through the trial, my faith will be stronger and God can do His work in me. Is there anyone? Amen. I see that hand. Amen. Just put it up and put it down and just pray. Amen. I see that hand too. Trusting God. Is there anyone else? Amen. I see the hand. Put it up. Put it down. In your heart, just pray, God, use the trial. Lord, I'm willing to submit to you. Teach me what I need to do. Is there anyone else? Amen. I see that hand too. Just put it up and put it down. God says, I will never leave you. He promised that. Go to His word. Spend time in prayer. Is there anyone else? Amen. I see that hand too. You know, if you put up your hand, I know that there's certain things that are in your heart that no one else knows but you and God. Put it before the cross. Say, Lord, I'm coming to you as your child. I've trusted you. And Lord, in your word, you tell me that you're caring for me. The Bible tells us, casting all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. Is there anyone else? Pastor, pray for me. Amen. I see that hand. There are many people putting up their hands. Put it down and pray. And then tell God what you want to do, what you need to do. Is there anyone else? Let's have a word of prayer. Father, I pray for everyone that's put up their hands. Lord, I don't know the details of what they're going through, but you do. Oh, thank you, Lord, that you are the all-knowing God. Lord, you already know what's in our hearts. You already know, even as we walked in, what you're going to do in our lives. But yet, Lord, you are looking for the response that say, yes, Lord, I will be obedient to you. Because you're allowing us the free will, Lord, to make a decision to follow you. Oh, that, Lord, you will help us. Help these brothers and these sisters who have put up their hands. God, I pray that out of the trial of their life, they will see the wonderful plan of God. I don't know, Lord. Perhaps even in the death of this missionary wife, God, you were able to use her death to lead hundreds to Christ. And God, if that is the purpose, help us to learn to submit to it. But thank you for the glorious thought that all of us have a different plan in your mind. And I pray, God, for every brother and sister who has put up their hand, I ask you right now, whatever prayer they prayed, Lord, I ask you to help them to submit themselves totally to you, following you. That God, the people that will see their lives will see a change. If it is a work problem, Lord, I pray that you help them to overcome it by the power of your Spirit. If it's a relationship thing, I pray, God, that you will lower our pride and help us to be humble before you. Lord, if it's a crisis in our life, help us to know that as we go through the fire, you hold our hands. And all we ever need, Father, is to focus on you and to put you first in everything. Because the Bible teaches us, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then all these things shall be added unto you. Oh God, we don't want to be looking at ourselves. And after you have met our need, help us to be looking for someone else we can bless. We thank you for what you can do as we sing this closing song, Lord. Continue to speak to our own hearts and help us to seal this prayer of faith. That God, what we pray, Lord, we believe with all our hearts that you will answer. But if you don't, in the near future, I pray you help us to have faith to know that you know what's best. And we thank you for what you're going to do. We pray in Jesus' name.